The rising cost of living may have pushed voters to the ballot box in the U.S. Across Europe, it's pushing people to strike. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. We start in Brussels, where public transport is grinding to a halt, and the city's biggest airport is expecting serious disruption today after half of its flights were canceled. Workers are staging a general strike to demand higher wages and better working conditions. With rising inflation, consumer prices surged 13% last month, with huge increases in food and energy costs. Michel Dibluz, who owns a number of Asian restaurants across Belgium, explains the pressure all of this is putting on his business.
We are suffering a lot. The price of the energy bills, we have an increase of cost of roughly 100,000 euro per month for all the locations, which is just too much. I mean, we cannot afford that.
And you've come up with an interesting way of trying to offset these costs by charging an extra euro per meal.
I realize that our bills will be increasing of roughly 100,000 euro per month. And we have roughly 100,000 customers per month. So we will ask 1 euro per meal, per person, per visit. And also we explain, of course, that this is a temporary issue. Hopefully we will stop this measure as soon as we can.
Why didn't you just decide to increase prices across the board?
We did increase prices already in the beginning of the year in March, April, because we are a chain of Asian restaurant, Thai restaurant, mainly. Most of the things we can, we buy or we produce here in Belgium, but coconut milk, it's very hard to grow in Belgium. So we have to import that. And all those prices increased so much by sometimes 200-300%. So we increased the price of the menu of roughly about 20%. And that was okay. But the energy is something on top.
So with the strikes that are going on because of concerns over these mandated rises in pay for workers, do you think that the strike action will help put more money in people's pockets?
Oh, frankly, I don't think so. We have an increase already of wages more than 10% in Belgium since last month. And they ask for more. As of today, more than half of the companies in Belgium, small, medium companies, are already in the red. We cannot afford to increase more the salaries.
Michel Dibluz in Brussels for us. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Well, only two European Union countries still tie mandatory price rises for the public and private sector to consumer price inflation. It's something that's known as indexation. Dr. Norbert Meyer is an economist for Copenhagen Economics based in Brussels. He told me why.
The intention is to try to help the people with keeping up with inflation. But the thing is that when the rate of inflation is low, like 2 or 3%, then this is very transparent and it's quite stable. But when inflation increases, that also comes together with a higher volatility in prices. And then people get nervous because the indexation becomes less transparent and it's not clear for them which inflation rate is used. Because inflation is typically calculated to a basket of goods and it's not always clear what's included in this basket. You can say that the inflation is 10%, but still you may pay 50% more for energy prices.
And that's what people are really upset about now, is that they feel like this mandatory wage increase that's going to be coming in January won't be enough. Can you just walk us through some of the things that the government is doing?
So the federal government has a reduced price energy package that gives to a large share of households an allowance of 135 euros for gas and 61 euros for electricity per month. And this is from November to March. It helps people, it helps households, but they think that this is insufficient. And since in many countries, governments decided to go for price caps, clearly, then, you know, the Belgian public would like to have price caps as well. Belgium having a deficit to GDP ratio overall more than 100%, you know, the government can feel that its hands are tied to a certain extent.
How is the government able to afford these sort of unforeseen costs, these rising costs that it has to now offset?
I mean, in this environment, I think that this is a very fine daily balancing act. You know, there is no reason to believe that they would not like to give more. But as I said, you know, the macroeconomic indicators are not really the best ones.
And the strikes today that we're seeing are fairly widespread, with unions arguing, as we've been talking, that more help is needed. Do you think that will pressure the government to offering more support?
These strikes, they typically happen even in these difficult times, 2 or 3 times a year. I mean, it has an impact, but it will not make the Belgian economy collapse. So I don't really see having a strong impact on what the government will do, and especially what the government can do.
Dr. Norbert Meyer, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Well, it's not just in Belgium. We're also seeing strike action in Greece today. Trade unions there also want more government support to help people cope with rising prices. Workers at Twitter's Only Africa office got a surprise when they opened their personal email this week. Like many of the company's staff in other parts of the world, nearly all members of staff in Ghana found out they're being laid off by email. It's just a year since the social network opened its Africa office in the capital, Accra. The BBC's Nkechi Ogbonna has more.
Affected staff told the BBC the mode of communication was very insulting. The company says it's reorganizing its operations as a result of a need to reduce costs. The termination of employment notice indicates that the last day of employment will be 4th December 2022, a move against local labor laws. The letter also warns staff not to contact or deal with any customers, clients, authorities, banks, suppliers, or other employees of the company, and are required to inform the company if contacted.
That's the BBC's Nkechi Ogbonna reporting there. Checking the numbers now, with control of Congress still yet to be determined at this hour, U.S. stock futures are slightly lower. They're down in the 0.2% range. European benchmarks, meanwhile, are down in the 0.4% to 0.7% range. The value of cryptocurrency is also sliding again today. The price of Bitcoin is down more than 4% this morning. That's after the near collapse yesterday of FTX, one of the largest crypto exchanges. Elsewhere, global oil prices are down about 0.5% this morning on worries of reduced demand as China's zero COVID policy continues to batter its economy. There are expectations, though, that Russian oil supplies will fall as an EU import ban comes into effect next month. Despite that, India, the second biggest buyer of Russian crude, will continue with its purchases because of the price benefits. Here's the country's foreign minister, Subramanian Ishankar, speaking in Moscow.
It is our fundamental obligation to ensure that the Indian consumer has the best possible access on the most advantageous terms to international markets. And in that respect, the India-Russia relationship has worked to advantage. So if it works to my advantage, I would like to keep that going.
Well, those remarks come as U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen prepares for a trip to New Delhi later this week. We will bring you the very latest on that story. Stay with us. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.